Hello, KCIW listeners, and welcome to Curry Cafe, where we put together a panel of volunteers and guests who discuss various topics from whimsical and fun to more serious subjects.
My name is Ray Gary, and we're here for another edition of the Curry Cafe. Curry Cafe is a very informal program where some of us just sit around a table and discuss a particular subject. And I always search the community far and wide to find the most intellectual people I can find to discuss these subjects. Today, our subject is going to be a religion in the U.S. government. How has religion affected schools and political campaigns and things of that nature? So I'm going to start out by having everybody introduce themselves and start out to my left with
Shirley Hyatt, and to my left,
Rick McNamer, and then to my left,
Billy Ferrucci. We sound like a bunch of lefties, don't we?
Maybe I'll start the other way next.
Okay.
Oh, God, confusing.
You start to
confusing.
Your right, that would be interesting.
So anyway, what I was thinking about the other day is almost so many things in our life in our political life or our government is predicated on God, and whether or not there is one, but some type of religion, if not the Christian God that we all know about. So anyway, as I said, I have these intelligent people around here. We're just going to sit around and discuss how this got to be and why it is. I personally have a real problem with so much of our life being dictated by what is in fact a superstition. Superstition being belief in something supernatural, mm-hmm. which religion certainly qualifies as.
Well, and you're thinking about God as an anthropomorphic being, and God isn't. God isn't some man, old man with a long white beard sitting on a cloud pounding his...
You never went to Catholic school, I can see that, right?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Well, you know, Billy, I'm fond of saying that man created God in his own image.
I say the same thing, yeah.
I do think that, sort of going back to the beginning, and again, I'm not a scholar on this, but my understanding about our dear founding fathers was that they did not want religion in government. In fact, they had tried to escape that very thing because in England, the king was also the head of the church, and he had created his own religion because he didn't like Catholicism. So there you go.
And it's the very first thing in the Constitution that they refer to before anything else. It's there will not be a state religion.
Yeah. And the separation of church and state is something that seems to have gone by the wayside, and I find it curious as to how people have allowed that to happen. And the only answer is that it helps to have power over people if you can convince them of something that you know that they already believe in. Am I making any sense?
Yeah. Power and greed seem to have been following all of that supposed... Well, I have a question. Number one, are we a Christian nation?
No.
Debatable. Well, some people think we are. A lot of people think we are.
If you go by numbers, we are. I mean, the majority of people who have a religion are a Christian religion.
Yes.
But no, we're not a religious nation at all.
Right.
Well, we're not specifically a Christian nation either. We might be a religious nation, but we're not specifically a Christian nation.
But the rise lately of the Christian nationalist movement is certainly trying to make it that way.
Yes, it is.
I do believe they do want a theocracy to be in power eventually. I don't think it'll ever happen because the non-religious percentage that I was researching, and I'm part of that. They call us nuns, but that I'll go with that. They're growing too, unfortunately, so is the Christian nationalist movement. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one is growing faster, but the Christian nationalist movement seems to be the loudest at this time and more, I would say, obnoxious with some of their policies. But it's a scary direction, I think, that the government's going.
Well, I think once you get people to think that if you are, in their words, godless, that means that you are evil. And if you can equate God to goodness, then everything else that doesn't fall under that umbrella, you can question and say, well, you know, that's why communism supposedly was godless and therefore evil, etc. But being an atheist doesn't make you evil. It just means that you don't happen to subscribe to that point of view.
Probably less. Oh, I'm sorry. We've
Go ahead.
Done. Well, probably less evil because you do things because it's the right thing to do. You don't steal because it's the right thing to do not to steal. The fact whether or not you steal or do something bad is predicated on the fact that you're going to answer to God at some point, as opposed to, no, I don't steal because it's not mine. I don't punch somebody in the nose because, well, that's another story.
Well, but do you think that getting to the Ten Commandments and, you know, there are political groups that want the Ten Commandments to be up on the walls in the schools, mm-hmm. and they've done various other things. But is man inherently good that on his own, without this big God thing holding a sledgehammer over them if they do ill, is man going to be okay without that so-called God hovering over him, do you think? You just said you think that a person wouldn't steal because it wasn't in them to do that, because they didn't want to take something that didn't belong to them. But is that because of the Ten Commandments that they believe they'll get in trouble?
Or? In many cases, I think one of the things that religion does serve in this country is that it probably keeps people who would otherwise do bad things from doing bad things. It helps control us to some extent, which a lot of people will say is the reason religion came up with to begin with anyway.
Well, religion, though, has always had that going for it. People have been programmed to believe that they need some higher power over them in order to make them, quote unquote, make them good. But that's a question of evolution. We should have evolved from that state by now. I think that it's also, you know, it depends on your family. Wherever you grow up, somebody is going to either have the hammer of religion over your head, or they're going to teach you that you have free will, you're independent, you can think on your own, and you don't need some theocracy above you to hold the hammer on you. It's a matter of how you're brought up.
And conversely, sometimes a lot of religion is used like as a cudgel to control and dominate people. Mm-hmm. And again, I'll use the manifest destiny, where the U.S. government basically just said, hey, we can just go across the country, decimate Native Americans and the buffalo, and because God wills it for us. Now, that's the way, it's a pretty simplistic view, but from what I read about it, I believe that's pretty much correct.
Yeah. And we could take that.
Because it's okay, because our God wants us to do that.
And we can take Mexico from those brown people.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
We weren't doing anything with that land anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a real dichotomy in the way we have evolved as a nation, too, because if it started out that church and state should be separated, and then they use religion as a cudgel to go in there and move the population the way they want to move it, or to set, you know, put it all on reservations if they want to, they use religion to do that, then that's a disconnect from the top, right? From the beginning.
Very much
look,
so.
Look at what's going on in Florida with bringing up all these things to not teach about slavery, or not, they don't want to hurt kids' feelings. And then the drag shows are going to make kids homosexuals, which is, of course, the ultimate sin in
Most
the Bible.
Most of that driven by religion.
I've never read the Bible, but it's my understanding that homosexuality is never addressed in the Bible. Is that true?
Oh, I believe it's addressed.
Yeah.
But I take that as my opinion. so what?
Yeah.
I just flat don't believe the Bible was written by God.
Of course not.
I think it was written by mostly a bunch of men, stepped on over the decades and the centuries, and that, you know.
We can take that as a given, I think, can't we?
Well, we can. Some people don't.
Maybe people do believe it was written. How could the Bible be written by God?
I may forget to do it before the end of the show, but if anybody out there listening wants to rebut or come on, and we will do another show with believers giving
their side. Differing opinions, for sure.
I've tried to get people like that to come here, and I haven't been able to so far.
Yeah.
Well, I think the major issue that we're kind of skirting around and should get right to it is that the government has adopted a personality that says, hey, we're basically God, and we're going to tell you, you women out there, that we're going to tell you when you can have a baby or not and how it can be conceived or whatever. We're going to tell you what your family should look like. I mean, this is the country that supposedly people left other places to get away from that kind of control. So it's amazing to me what's going on right now, that so many people are willing to accept all of this stuff that's going on now, which is so restrictive and kind of, like you say, the God with the cudgel, you know, don't do this and don't do that because we say so. And if God is love, then what's all this hatred that's going on? You know, it's a fascinating concept.
It's hard to believe, yeah.
It is hard to believe.
That it's almost like The Handmaid's Tale, the way women are being demeaned right now.
Yeah.
And saying, well, we want you to have as many babies as you possibly can and stay home, by the way, and don't go to work, by the way, and just be housewives, like we were in the 50s.
Stay home and bake cookies.
There is nothing wrong with parents being at home with their children. I'm not arguing with you. I just think that as a mandate, it shouldn't be there. You know, I think that too many women have gone back to work when maybe the children would have been better off if they stayed home. But, you know, that's kind of a different subject. But the idea of the essence of godliness being put into our so-called representatives telling us what we can and cannot do, it's amazing to me that they've been able to get away with so much.
It is.
I mean, telling people that a cluster of cells in a dish is a human baby.
Is a child.
And therefore, if you drop it accidentally and step on it, then you've murdered a child. Yeah. I mean, it's insanity.
Yes,
pure insanity.
It is. And I read something that really hit me the other day. It was like, if an embryo is a child, when the embryo is frozen, it becomes 6 years old, do you send it to kindergarten? Do you get insurance for it? Do you allow it its freedom when it's 18 years old? I mean, this can be taken to such an extreme.
Are you able to deduct those?
Can you deduct that from your taxes?
Yeah.
Yes. No, it's all if you take that to an extreme, it becomes perfectly ridiculous.
You know, Shirley, you talked before about my mother staying home and taking care of the kids, which I'm not an expert on, but arguably it sounds like a pretty good deal. We remember those horrible days
when the hardest
Sarah Palin was actually running for office, and she had one kid who was totally out of control. They kind of made him go in the Army because he was really a troublemaker in his community. And I can say this because I talked to people who were friends of that kid. He's a big doper and a big problem. And then she had a daughter who had, two, three out of wedlock kids? And if she were a Democrat, the religious people would have been pointing at it. If she stayed home and took care of her children like she was supposed to, this wouldn't have happened.
Well, and she actually flaunted them. They brought them onto the, you know, into the audience where everybody could see them. Like,
I thought it was also interesting when her daughter was having a baby and the baby was determined to be Down syndrome, that she said she was proud of her daughter because she chose to have the baby. without even realizing that she had the choice to do that.
Yeah.
What would? Without Palin recognizing that what she was saying is, oh, she has the choice.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Because I have no problem at all if the mother wants and the parents want to continue that pregnancy. That's honorable, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are other problems, and there can be, especially when it jeopardizes the health of the mother, you know.
What business has the state?
Well, there you go. That's my point.
Back to government. Why should government have control over my personal choices?
Well, it all comes back to me, to sex, because this is something that Mary Magdalene was supposedly a prostitute, right?
That was put upon her.
That was put upon her.
She was never considered that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not in the Bible.
No.
That's what I'm saying. That there has to be somebody that is demonized somehow, and woman, then men have chosen that it be women.
Eve.
So if it's always about
Start
the woman.
With Eve, yeah.
If a man goes to see a prostitute, it's the prostitute with the problem, not the fact that the man went to see. See what I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So it's always the woman who gets in trouble. They don't go after the man.
No.
If the woman conceives a child and she doesn't want it and it was forced upon her, mm-hmm. whatever, they don't go after the guy.
No.
They don't go after the guy.
Yep.
It's always the woman.
Yep.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, this intrusion, and it's all based on some lofty idea that, you know, God has willed it so. And these people in the government who say, well, you know, God's talking to me, and I say, well, take that fellow off to the loony bin then, or, you know, find out if he's schizophrenic. Because if you think God is telling you what to do, we better have a better health program for these people. Pretty
We've
scary.
We've certainly had presidents who have claimed they were divinely inspired. George W. Made reference to being to God guiding him all the time.
Yep, there have been. Yeah, are you talking George Washington? Yeah.
No.
George Bush.
Well, George Washington was too, actually.
George W. Yeah.
I mean, many of the presidents say that they had been divinely inspired.
Yeah. Well, including...
Well, so did Hitler, by the way.
Well,
yeah.
And true.
And including what I consider the failed ex-President Trump, the lady that was, I don't know if it was his pastor or led the evangelical... group that he had when everybody was laying hands on this evil man, Paula White.
Yeah.
She was the one that was preaching the prosperity gospel, and that's about where all the rich pastors
God
get richer by
rich.
The... Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that story. Yeah, that was a pretty ugly part, I thought, of that whole administration, because he had that evangelical group doing various things and always... You know, talking about his policies, whatever. This subjugation of women that it seems to be coming back, even by some women, and that just blows my mind.
That's hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah.
The low-hanging fruit, two of them, I think, are Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, I believe, which is another one that just got into trouble. She was the one preaching moral Christian family values.
Yeah.
While her son, did some criminal act.
But she herself was idiotic.
Yeah, she herself was caught on tape doing some pretty despicable things. In
I don't know that they were despicable. That's
that's a judgment call. I'm sorry.
She was being human.
Yes, she was.
But she was being loud and obnoxious while she was being human. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole problem, as we started out, is to say that little by little, this whole imagery of God is watching us and we are the chosen people, blah, 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 blah. We were talking earlier, before we got on the air, about how In God We Trust showed up on our coinage.
Yeah.
So who decided to do that? And what was the other?
Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Decided to throw in Under God.
Under God.
And that happened in 1957. I remember it. It was not in there until 1957.
Right.
So has it always sort of run through the country, so to speak, that there's an element that says, because we're smarter and better and prettier than anybody else in the world, then God belongs to us exclusively. You know, there is this goodness that we possess, and it's our connection to God that makes us blessed among all other nations. And people use words like that. We are blessed among all other nations. God loves us more than he loves anybody else, kind of thing. We're special.
And God is a he.
Pardon me?
God is a he.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, naturally. Can't have a woman up there, you know. That wouldn't
Well, Mother
sense.
Father God is in several of the New Age, not New Age, but New Thought religions, starting with Christian Science. I grew up as a Christian Scientist. And it was always Mother, Father, God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we were created in God's image, then where did woman come from? You know what I mean?
If you read Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis says, we created man in our image. Now, who is this we? And then in the second chapter, it has the more mundane version. So there are two versions of the creation.
Mm-hmm. It's only two, huh?
Yeah, only two.
It's at least three.
Oh, maybe.
No.
And isn't it, of course, obvious how, now, again, my biblical knowledge is pretty minimal, but isn't blaming Eve for all the sins? Is that where they
well,
go?
Of course.
Oh,
of
that
course.
Darn woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
No. She's the one.
Yeah.
She tempted him.
And, of course, written by men. Yeah, who else are they going to blame?
But, of course, before Eve, there was Lilith. Lilith was Adam's first wife. And she
didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Well, that's back in that's before the biblical times. There's in the Apocrypha, you'll have the legend.
Where did you get this stuff from?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
We never heard this.
it's in the Apocrypha, and it's also in some of the early lost books.
So you're saying there was a woman before Eve?
Yeah, Lilith was Adam's first wife.
Lilith?
And Lilith.
Lilith, oh yes.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah, and they have made, and they even made her into something evil. That she's the reason babies die when they're little. You know, the sudden death syndrome, they blamed it on Lilith because she came and sucked the breath out of those babies.
I thought cats did that.
Yeah.
Well, Lilith.
This is not a joke.
No, it's true.
When my son was born, my wife was part of a well-known religious group, and several people came over and said, "You have to get rid of that cat because mm-hmm. he's going to suck the breath out of you."
A lot of those superstitions come from so far back in our history. Yeah.
These were intelligent people. I'm not talking about. Yeah. I mean, these were.
Well, now you've hit the nail on the head, I think. Intelligence doesn't seem to have anything to do with what we're talking about. Now, totally well-read, intelligent people can still hold these beliefs. And it's schizophrenic, really, when you think about it. And more and more. What?
And a little scary.
Yeah, well, no kidding.
That makes me think, am I just not smart enough to understand this when we have these scholars who will talk about biblical prophecies and things of that nature.
They've been debating these subjects for so many years. Yeah,
I'd like to know why so many religions are behind or religious members are behind Trump. He is without a doubt the most obviously and well known, admitted. Amoral person that has ever run for a major office in this country. He doesn't have any record of ever going to church before, like most presidents did, whether they believed or not. They showed up there on Sunday to at least look like. He went to Bob Jones University and made it. I mean, he said things that even I knew better than. I made it very obvious he had never opened a Bible in his life.
Doesn't.
And the next day, Bob Jones University is backing him.
Yeah. It's craziness. I think there's so many people who really do have the, I think, the skewed opinion that Trump was divinely ordained by God.
Yes, I've heard that
and
many times.
They believe that. And I think they back it up because King David he was a king, and he was also an adulterer. And they say if King David could be an adulterer, then it's okay for Trump to be an adulterer.
Was he a ruthless businessman?
He was a pretty ruthless king.
Hired many people that he never paid because he just didn't. Small businesses did not have the money to fight him in court because they would win in court, but it would cost them their whole business to try to fight this guy.
Well, in retrospect, I think you could compare the two pretty evenly because King David had his mistress's husband, who was a warrior, he had him killed in wars, and then he went off and he married her. So, and they can say, well, if King David can be okay, he was ordained by God. Our Trump, with whatever he has done, was ordained by God as well.
If he were really unable to be so charismatic, and let's just face it, I mean, he is
charismatic.
He is.
Yeah.
And going back to the very early days when he was up on the stage with, 16, 17, however many people there were, I became, as millions did, I'm sure, mesmerized to say, what the heck is he going to say next?
Oh, you know, The Apprentice?
Pardon me?
You mean The Apprentice?
No. I'm saying when he was running for president originally. And he made fun of everyone and made everybody laugh, and he said outrageous things that, mm-hmm. that people would mm-hmm. just get like, oh my gosh, what's he going to say next? What's he going to do next? And I think that has carried mm-hmm. him through a lot because people are in it for the entertainment factor. They want to see, you know, is he going to wave his arms in the air and make fun of somebody and make us laugh and make us so glad that we're on his side instead of somebody else who's probably stupid. And, you know, so he really has something special going on in his ability to mesmerize people and bring them in, that charisma, which evidently Hitler had and other mm-hmm. people who basically were not for the good of the people, but just in it for themselves and their own power. It's fascinating that so many people have fallen into that and they don't want to let go of it.
Well, why religious people?
Why
the that's I don't that understand is, that at all.
Because you know, part
every,
of that
every power, speech power. He gives every time he opens his mouth, if there's three sentences, at least one of those is a blatant lie, out and out mm-hmm. blatant lie. Isn't that one of the Ten Commandments?
Don't lie.
He's probably violated most of them, but again, part of that faction we talked about, why do these religious people follow him? I think part of the reason they know he will push through any policy that they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, he used to be pretty pro-choice, I believe. Now he, you know, rabidly anti-abortion.
He used to be a Democrat.
He's charismatic, but he's also a charlatan on a grand scale.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
Think. And that works for him, obviously.
When he does the outrageous things to refer to himself like Jesus, I've been indicted for your
yes.
people.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going,
right.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, only I can solve this problem.
Yeah, I think just by uttering.
And I am your redemption. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just by uttering the word Jesus, they're going to just, oh my God, this is our guy.
And then that deal with the where he had these people come out and he stood in front of the church holding up the Bible and
oh yeah,
what the heck was that all about?
He held it upside down too.
No, I think that was not right, but that was the rumor going around. Yeah. I agree. But
he did
I think
look when, at it.
Yeah. But regardless, upside down or not, him just holding a Bible, period. Well, so
and he was at least somewhat honest. They asked him what it was, and he said, it's the Bible. And they said, is it your Bible? And he said, it's a Bible. He could have lied and said, oh, yes. Well, and it would be more like him. This Bible's been in my family since my father was running a cat house in the Yukon.
Yeah, and not only him, these other people that are in power.
Grandfather, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. The people in power, this new person, wretched person, in my opinion, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House.
The Speaker of the House.
You know, he said that he wants to eventually have a religious test for politicians.
Yep.
So there again, throw out that church and state right away. I guess we could say at least
he's... That's the first part of the Constitution. You cannot...
Well, no, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
It just doesn't matter.
Well, that's the scary part.
Yeah. Well, it is scary because he does... okay, correct me. Is he third in line for the presidency?
Yes, he's third in line for the presidency.
Okay, so there you go. Yep. Could you imagine this guy getting in?
It's all about control.
And that we need to take the Bible literally. He's also said that.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
well,
but which Bible... hasn't it been stepped on 100,000 times?
It's been translated so many different ways.
Boy, that gets me fired up. But anyway, and he's not the only one. Michael Flynn, the General Michael Flynn, back when, he was in the administration.
Yes.
I mean, here's a general, did some honorable fighting for the country and all of that, but he's completely flipped to the Christian nationalism.
But that's not about Christianity.
It's
about power.
It's about power.
Yeah, I think they're linked.
They are linked. There's no getting around it.
Myself, anyway.
No, I think that's absolutely
true. And the message of Christianity to me has been so skewed. And again, I'll have to my disclaimer is I was raised totally non-religious. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen a lot. Almost most people I know were raised with some religion, so I have always had a prejudice against religion. Mm-hmm. I admit that. That's just the way it is. I think there's too much room for, hypocrisy, for one. I see a lot of hypocrisy in religion. And, that's kind of where I come from.
Religion is something that mankind has created in many different forms. So, I used to question my mother about the one true church. You know, what is that? Because every church or denomination think they've got the best. You know, they've got a true handle on what God wants for us.
Right.
And so I used to puzzle over that and say, well, now, how could that be? Does that mean all the people who live in India and all the people who live wherever, whatever it is that they're worshiping, that can't be right, then. We're the only ones who have the truth.
Isn't that why missionaries go around the world, so that they can teach these people about God?
Because to them, that's what they've been told to do. They've been taught that they need to go out and spread the word, spread the gospel, as if there was nothing else that made any sense. And it's all about power.
I think there's still some tribes in the Amazon that you better not come around their place and talk to them about anything. I think by law that people are not allowed to go there without a permit. They're still living their traditional lifestyle, and they want to keep it that way.
Right. And again, on the mission, I think about my knowledge is somewhat limited, but these missions that have been put up along the California, mm-hmm. There's... Oh my gosh, Mission San Luis Obispo, Mission San, whatever. A lot of indigenous people were cruelly treated.
Oh, terrible.
Under the guise of we're helping these poor people out. No, I don't believe they were. I believe they're using them as slave labor. It caused a lot of children's deaths by the diseases they spread. Anyway, it wasn't such a great thing.
It's not that long.
And again, I have a jaundiced view on religion in general. So,
but you're African. You're not African American. What am I trying to say? You're Native American. Okay.
Part Native American.
Yeah, those Native American children were rounded up by the Catholics and put into little American kid clothing and sent to school and told them never and ever, ever to open their mouth to speak another word of anything but English. And as you say, became slave labor or were re-indoctrinated. And to me, that is not goodness. That is not whatever.
No, not at all.
If you think God is good, then that was certainly not good. But the power to be able to do that, that is the thing that we're really talking about. Who has the power to say, we're doing this because it's the right thing to do? This is because God told us this is what we must do. And we're caught up in that big time right now where the people in power are saying, yes, but this is God wanting you to do this. This is not us. We're not saying this. This is God saying this, and we're his representative. So therefore, you know, it's really scary because that kind of power can run over everybody in the worst kinds of ways, and it's showing its ugly face right now, which is really kind of terrifying.
You talked about indigenous people being treated badly. That happened like in the 19th century, but it happened up until
very recent,
40, 50 years ago in Alaska, where kids were taken out of their homes and sent to BIA schools and things like that. In fact, it was so common that they eventually had to come up with what's called the Indian Child Welfare Act, where an indigenous kid cannot be taken out of their village or their home and put with a white family, which was the, you know, we're going to teach this kid how to dress right and comb his hair and all that. So it's illegal now to do that.
Yeah.
I wonder how many...
Is it nationally illegal or just state by state?
No, that's a almost positive it's a national law. What would happen so much in Alaska is that some of the villages are pretty poor, pretty poor places to live, and kids would be really having a bad time. So the social workers would come in and scoop up the kids. There's more to it than that. I mean, I'm way oversimplifying it, and take them to white homes if the white foster parents were available. I personally was involved in that case. And that's not legal anymore. And I'm almost certain that's a national thing.
Yeah, it should be, yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Except in the case that I was involved with, it was not good for the child. The child was better off with me than she was going back to her village. And in fact, didn't last long in the village. And they finally got an exception years later to the Indian Child Welfare Act, ECWA as it's called, to allow that girl to come back to my family.
It's interesting that I know in Colorado, I have a cousin who adopted an Indian Native American girl because she was a half-breed. She was half one from one tribe and half from another tribe. And neither reservation would take that child back.
That's what happened to this. My particular, the village did not want her back. Somebody's going to. She was half white. And I was screaming, well, what about our white rights? You know, but it didn't work out.
But again, who's making that law? Is that a government law? Is that a state law that you're talking about?
I'm almost certain it's a federal law.
Mm-hmm. So people are not persecuted or prosecuted anymore for mixing their race, God forbid. Oh my goodness. You know, we can't have that happening, you know, that people from different races are mating and having children. How terrible.
I still hear that from the extreme right wing at times, though.
There are still states that have that on their books. It said, I heard yesterday that Missouri still has it on the books that if a woman is pregnant, she cannot get a divorce.
Huh. Well, that's the one they're pushing now.
Yeah.
So after the baby's born, she can get a divorce?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. That's interesting.
What if she wasn't married?
Yeah. Well, who would she divorce?
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you go and stand up in front of somebody who is ordained by somebody else, whatever that means, by the power invested in me, who gave you that power. Well, obviously it comes from God, but I have the power to tell you whether or not you're legally doing something or illegally doing something. And going back to who was the gal that refused to marry the same-sex couple, and it was a big flap about that. And
I think it was, same-sex, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so now I think the move afoot is to cancel that out, so that we can get rid of this whole idea of same-sex people being married. And whose business is it, really? It comes back, I started to say earlier, comes back to people's version of sex. Well, if a man rapes the woman must have been at she must have had her skirt too short, or, you know, she must have given him a come on in some way, because, you know, that's, men are just, you know how they are. You know,
I just
they
saw that,
can't help themselves.
Just saw that recently, where some politician was telling women that they need to dress more conservatively. If you're wearing shorts, something, well, then a man is just acting on his natural instincts.
Well, the whole idea of,
but that man would not be. The natural instincts would be animalistic, so that
has to be the woman's fault.
No, that person could not have been created by God as a person, right?
Well, I want to interject here something that I recently discovered, because I was wondering why do the women, is it in Iran that the women took off their scarves and threw them in the
right.
street?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole idea behind that, this is my understanding, so I hope somebody knows more than I do. The hair on the head of the woman is so seductive that it's her fault if a man comes after her, because she's showing her head of beautiful hair. So she's got to cover it up.
And only her husband can see
her
hair.
Yeah, so what is that about? That makes absolutely no sense to me. But is that the bottom line, that it's the woman must cover herself because it's her fault if the man is lured into her sinful world somehow?
You know, I think that's the theory. Men are simply acting on their instincts, and they can't help themselves, poor things.
Yeah, the women, they've just got to watch out all the time.
Rape conviction has ended either in a more than one rape trial has ended in either a non-conviction or a very, very minor punishment, because the women were supposedly acting seductively. Or
I think that part, though, I believe is changing. I just truly believe that people are beginning to recognize this, that's a very old way of thinking.
Well, these are old way of thinking people who are thinking like that.
Yes, yeah. And as much as I bash Christian nationalism for the subjugation of women and stuff, the other country we brought up, Iran, now, my knowledge is a little limited, but we have seen where in certain countries, and this goes mostly to the Islamic religion, I believe, if a woman is raped, she will be punished.
Yeah, they punish her.
That's kind of a broad brush,
yeah.
But
yeah.
That
yeah.
kind of stuff goes on. And again, where they can't even, have their hair visible or ankles, I don't know. But it's worse in a lot of other countries than other religions.
And that is religion.
I mean, it's bad enough here, but my gosh, what goes on in some of those other, it's unbelievable what they, you know, killing their daughter for not wanting to, maybe the daughter's 12 and not wanting to marry some guy that's, you know, again, broad
yeah.
brush, but it happens. And, but this, back to here with the Christian nationalism, and I, you know, keep bringing that up, but that's one that bothers me the most.
Yeah.
Because I also believe there's some Christian nationalists in our Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gee.
And are you kidding me? There again, powerful people in powerful positions wielding that kind of, power, but with the backing of the crazy religious beliefs, I'm sorry.
So does anybody see a way to fight back on this? Does anybody have
The Supreme Court, for one, should be expanded to 13 seats, because we have 13 districts. Why do we have only 9 people on the Supreme
Court?
Where
the Supreme Court has been lately, why do we have them at all?
Oh, because
good point.
They are very, very disrespected right now.
Yes.
I know they are.
For Trump right now.
But the way...
unbelievable.
But the way it was set up in the beginning, the Supreme Court was supposed to act as the balance between the executive and the House and the Senate.
Supreme Court kind of reminds me of jury duty. Anybody will tell you that if you want to get on jury duty, you lie. If you don't want to get on jury duty, you lie.
Yeah.
So if you want to get on the Supreme Court, you lie.
You lie, yeah.
Clarence Thomas actually said during his whatever they call it, his investigation, that he had never spoken to anybody publicly or privately about abortion.
Oh.
No. Well, that's
that's a lie. Well, and the one that was confirmed during the confirmation hearings for Amy
Coney Barrett.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I call her Amy Coat Hanger Barrett.
Yes, good.
That's all
good
right. Name. She specifically said Roe versus Wade was set law.
Yeah.
And she had no way of talking about what she would do if that came up. It was set in law. And we know darn well what her real feelings were.
Yeah. I think Kavanaugh kind
Kavanaugh
of did
the
same
thing. Kavanaugh.
Two people that definitely shouldn't be there. But, you know, too late now.
Well,
yeah, I'm with you, Billy. I was hoping that the minute we got in, hey, let's pump up the Supreme Court to at least counteract these religious zealots that
are taking over, but that's
not going to happen right now.
Has anybody got a clue about what the Constitution says about how many people should be on the Supreme Court? Do we have
it? Has to do with the number of districts. The number of district courts there are, and there's 13, so we should have 13 Supreme Court justices.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't have my Constitution with me in my pocket. But that's exactly...
So is there anything that we can see as hopeful with people who feel as we do that religion is taking a step way too far into our everyday lives and into the government to control a lot of what we do? Is there any light at the end of this black tunnel that we're zooming into?
Mm. Hate to be
Democrat good enough?
Well, I don't know. I hate to be a pessimist, but like right now, the momentum seems to be in a negative way.
So what's so attractive about that to people? What do you think?
Boy, you got me.
They don't have to think anymore. Somebody will tell me what to do. I can just sit here and let
They've been interviewing a lot of Trump supporters, and many of them have said that they would like to have Trump as a dictator.
Yeah. Then they don't have to
evidently think. Not even knowing what the hell they're talking about.
Well, that's the point. They don't know what they're talking about.
His praising of Putin or lack of criticism when it's needed. I don't know. What do they have on
that? Another crazy part of the religious right, I'll say. What is this fascination with Putin all of a sudden?
Yeah. He's a strong man.
Yes.
He's a strong man. He's got control of all his people.
Right. And God, most of them seem to be in favor of holding up on this to help Ukraine. I think that's one of the biggest issues we've got. If we allow Putin to keep coming in Ukraine,
I'm just shocked that members of our government are backing off on that support.
I am too.
Read a history book.
Yeah.
Well,
we let Hitler have Czechoslovakia and Poland, and he just kept on going, even though he said, "Oh, this is it, not doing anymore."
Well, right now, this is an opinion, everybody. This is an opinion. I think that we should stop supporting Israel right now because there is no reason to support what Netanyahu is up to.
And Netanyahu's he's a Zionist. Yeah, he's definitely.
And we're supporting that, and people are supporting that in favor of Netanyahu because of all the killing and all. I just have to say, again, it goes back to biblical stuff and the persecution of these people. And it's religion has found a niche in people's lives that is far different from what one would think, you know, if you go into, let's say you go into a church and it's peaceful, it's quiet, and you get a feeling that everything's okay and you can sit there and commune with nature or God or whatever, that's a far different thing from this business of we're going to kill you because you don't think the same way that we do. You worship the wrong God. There's only one God, but yours is wrong. Mine is right and yours is wrong. And all of this support going out for the strong man who's leading his country, has nothing to do
for sure
with reality. It has to do with somehow that person is imbued with the power of God. And all these women you're talking about, what was her name? The gal that was the...
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
No, the gal that's putting her hands on John Trump.
Paula White.
And imbuing him with all the power of God, you know, it's like, it's so wrong in so many ways. And I just wonder how people get sucked into that. What do they think is going
to
happen?
And the main message to me, boy, I've been, when I was in the Air Force, I've never been hit so hard by a bunch of, I didn't realize it was full of the barracks that I was in when I was stationed in Okinawa. It was like 80% evangelical Christians.
Really? And they didn't convert you?
Oh, hell no. some of them were my friend.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, well, Rick, this great message, you know, they had all the good stuff, you know, the bows and the ribbons. But the eventual thing was, and if you don't believe it, you're going to spend your eternal life in hell.
Yeah, it's
there
the
you
fear.
Go. I
the
thought,
fear.
Gee, that's mm-hmm. what a nice, because I don't believe exactly what they
did. Did you tell them that that's where all your friends will be?
I tell you what, man, if if the people like Falwell and all these other people we've been talking about are in heaven, I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you have to establish with people that there is a heaven and a hell.
Well, that's exactly right.
I don't believe you.
The whole concept of heaven and hell is a human construct.
I mean, my interpretation of being in heaven would be something that would be considered very sinful.
Good TV all day long. Yes,
oh, you should write
heaven.
That. That would be a good story there.
Drinking beer is what I was talking about.
Okay. And start every morning with a nice hot cup of black coffee and I'm good.
Yeah. Yes.
So do we have any hope for this?
Well, again, I don't have much hope right now. I really don't.
I just have to remain as cautiously optimistic as possible because I know the brain works in the way that thoughts are things. And if you continually think that something is going to go down the drain and something's going to go down the tubes and we're doomed and nothing can save us but a Trump hammer, whatever, then that's going to happen. That's the manifest destiny right there.
I think Gil Scott-Heron was a great philosopher and a prophet, and he wrote a song or did a poem called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. If you're not familiar with it, just run it up.
No, I'm
YouTube.
Not. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you sing it for us?
No. It's a poem, and it needs to be done the way he does. He's not.
I'd love to read that. I'd like to see that poem.
The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Just type that in on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll Google that.
Yeah, there's a couple of versions of it. Just the musical background is different, but the words are the same and all.
I'm surprised that there aren't more people establishing marches. You know, the day after Trump was elected, there was a huge nationwide women's march because all the women knew exactly who he was. Mm. And we protested against him. We made it known. And
the million exhaustion factor.
Pardon me?
I think there's an exhaustion factor right now.
Maybe so, but I'm surprised that there aren't more people out there who understand what's really going on, saying we're not going to let this happen.
I think it's interesting that he is actually threatening, not necessarily himself, but through his people, that there is going to be violence if he's not elected. What kind of deal is this? I don't know.
We're going to force you to be afraid not to vote
for him,
mm-hmm. and that will. He thinks that will prevent all of the trials from going forward because they're afraid of what might happen if it goes forward.
I think that's why
the Supreme Court is.
I don't think they're afraid
weeks.
Of him. I think they just want him.
They do.
He appointed three of them.
Yeah.
And who knows what the others think about him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that at the bottom of all of this, we're talking about how an idea. You can latch onto an idea and feel righteous about it and feel that God is guiding you in that, whatever your imagery is of this God that's guiding you, and that that is represented in power. And the power is to be able to get people to do what you need them to do for you. And this whole, you brought it up, Rick, about the Christian prosperity.
Prosperity gospel.
You know, it's like, yeah, Jesus wants you to be rich. Yeah, isn't he the guy that threw all the money changers out of the temple? No.
Yeah.
He wants you to have money. He doesn't want you to
have last year's Learjet. He wants you to have the current Learjet.
So it's,
he wants me to have it too.
It's a fascinating time that we find ourselves in. And I, for one, am grateful that I'm not a young woman bringing children into this world because
heaven forbid.
It doesn't look pretty, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm grateful for that too, to be at the age where I'm not going to have to worry about this. But there are people that I care about who are still young. And in fact, one young woman has a brand new baby now. So
everybody go into your closet and pray for peace.
Visualize peace, I think. I think visualizing, manifesting peace will come from our own particular way of visualizing it in the world. It has nothing to do with God. Nothing. And it probably doesn't have anything to do with government. Because I don't believe government's going to save us. But either party.
Doesn't look like they're even trying right now.
Yeah. No.
I was looking at Mitch McConnell is finally retiring.
Yeah, right? Thank goodness.
Hardly
squirrel guy.
Why do we have so many old people in the government? Why don't we have term limits?
Yeah, we.
Why do these people get in? They get elected and elected.
Term limits, stay in
office until they literally can't talk anymore.
Because it's very hard to break through. It's very hard to be somebody with a lot of ethics and intelligence and being well-read and everything that it takes
to get out there
and run for office, because it's all about money. And if you can't get people to give you enough money so that you can advertise yourself, then you haven't got a ghost of a chance. And if you haven't got the machine behind you, then
if you're limited to two terms, at least on your second term, you're not going to be worried so much about having to please.
This is true.
The God Kingmakers.
Well, that is true.
Well, term limits, and what about it? I'm kind of for age limits myself. I don't know what it would be,
age makes sense. You know, I'm 80 years old. I
term could not limits and age
do an important job like that.
I don't want you running the world, Ray.
You don't even want me running a computer because you can see what a mess I'm making out of it.
Part of it is the experience that an older person has.
Yeah,
that's true.
Wisdom. Very important.
Yes, I try to tell people that all the time.
I'm
imbued with a great deal of wisdom now. Anyway, we're running down to the last minute. So does anybody have a final comment? I have one final comment. I'm sure, well, I don't think they'd still be with us, but there was probably people at the start of this to disagree with us.
Oh.
Please, 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 come on. KCIW.org, say you want to be a part of this, and we will definitely give you the microphone. We'd love to have this be a debate, not just the four of us.
Right.
Exactly.
Agreeing with each other.
Right. My final parting would be secularism is a good thing. That's my opinion. So there you go.
Yeah, separation of church and state is in the Constitution, and remind people of that, and get out there and vote.
Oh, yeah.
And it must stay in the Constitution. We must keep our government.
Yeah, we don't want to get rid of the vote, even though some people want to.
Yeah, we're in charge of it.
We're done.
We're in charge, yeah.